Here we are again on the first morning now, the first real service of the largest Feast of Tabernacles in more than 400 years. Now, before we get started, I believe there are a few empty seats. If there are any, will you people slide toward the center so that it will leave the vacant seat on the aisle so that it can be seen? There are many standing outside that are unable to get in. The tabernacle is not large enough for us, and I've seen from the number here that are here now that we saw last night, over 2,400 reported to me last night. I haven't gotten the count this morning. I know it's over 2,500 now. That we're going to have to build the new tabernacle larger. And I think it perhaps is providential that we didn't go through with it this year. It would not have been built large enough. We're going to have to make it larger. Now, if that's fine, if I can see a few seats coming now. There are a few aisle seats. And I wonder if some of the deacons would come forward, go up and down the aisle, see how many there are, and then tell people outside and bring those in, the exact number that can find seats. Now, we're trying to dispense with announcements so that the program, the services, can go right through smoothly this year. We hope to make this by far the finest and best Feast of Tabernacles we have ever had. I know that God is here. This is the one great festival that God commands. It is the largest number of people that have gathered in one of God's festivals, as I say, in hundreds of years. Now, that may seem strange. There aren't anywhere near as many of us here as flocked into Yankee Stadium in New York yesterday for a World Series ball game. There aren't anywhere near as many of us here as flocked every night into Madison Square Garden to hear Billy Graham. But this is God's festival. This is the festival that God commands that none but His people attend. A little later I'm going to bring you the reason why we're here. And let me tell you, my friends and brethren, that God is here in His power and in His Spirit. God is present. It's been my privilege in the last year and a half to travel over a good share of this earth. Mr. Herman Hay and Dr. Meredith have just this year traveled over quite a little larger portion of it than we were able to do last year. And I know they've seen the same thing we have wherever you go. You see nothing but downcast people, empty lives, frustrations, fears and worries and heartaches, every kind of, as you go over the world, false religions. Oh, you see the mosques over in the Middle East. You see their temples, all to idols, to pagan gods, false gods, everywhere you go. You don't see anything except people that have strayed far, far from God and that don't know God and don't know His joy and His happiness. And let me tell you, my brethren, that when we come to a place where people, this many people, are assembled on a time that God has commanded, where no other people will obey, God is pleased and God is here. And I hope that we just feel His presence here as we have never felt it before in our lives. I think that you all got the received the announcements that were passed out to you as you came in, so that there will not need to be so many announcements here from the platform. And let me just say, watch your children. I'll look after it and see if some provision is not made to take care of children. If you care to leave them, instead of bringing them in the service with you. And really and frankly, I don't know whether we've made that provision. We should, and we're going to in the new tabernacle. As a matter of fact, when the new tabernacle is finished, at each side of the platform will be glassed-in rooms for mothers with babies and children, so that the children can cry all they want to, and we won't hear it out here or out in the tabernacle. And still there will be loudspeakers so that the mothers in there will hear all of the sermon, and they can look through the glass and see everything that goes on, just as you do here. We're going to try to have all of those things taken care of. And now, before the morning message and the offering that I mentioned last night will not be taken till this afternoon, I hope we'll all be abundantly prepared, because this is for God's necessity and under His command. We do not take up offerings at any time except these seven times that God has commanded. Never in evangelistic services. We never ask for money over the air. Never in our regular Sabbath services, as I think all of our older members, of course, know. But now, just before the message this morning, Morgan Olson, one of our students in Ambassador College, will sing, "Bring Ye All the Tithes into the Storehouse." Now, I think they probably thought that the offering was to be taken this morning. It will be this afternoon, but perhaps this will put you in the mood for it, because this is the Word of God. And the words are taken primarily, I think, from Malachi 3:10, "Bring ye the tithes into the storehouse," but also Psalms 127, verse 1, and Isaiah, the second chapter, the second verse, if you wish to follow it in your Bible. These are the words of God, and the music by McDermott, James G. McDermott, and Mrs. Eckert accompany. Greetings, everybody, to the largest Feast of Tabernacles This will be the largest Feast of Tabernacles that has been held in at least 400 years, anywhere in the world. And we are here from all over the United States, from Canada, and from England. Now, we're just going to have a get-together tonight. We're going to see where we're all from. They told me that the pulpit up here was just showered with announcements that I was supposed to make, and I told them, get them off of here. We're not going to take time for a lot of announcements tonight. I have a few that have been handed to me, and I presume a few of them need to be made, as usual. Now, we're trying a new system this year. We're registering as you come in. That will stop congestion once we're here. And they tell me that 2,425 had been registered as of about 10 minutes ago, if they've counted them all up. That is already far more than we've ever had before, and as usual, I presume we're all of us not here yet. More will be coming in. I don't know. I arrived a little late tonight. You know, brethren, let me just say right now, one thing I think I should say at the outset. This work has grown worldwide. It's gotten now entirely too large for me to act longer as a personal minister in individual cases. I'm sure that you will all realize that. The church had sort of diminished back here 10 years ago to the place where I was the only minister left in it. And we had the church in Eugene and the church in Portland. That's all we had at the time. We didn't have ministers in those churches. Although we had an elder in Portland that was holding the church together there, we had an elder in Eugene. Well, in fact, he wasn't an elder actually at that time, and he didn't hold the church together there. We had come to the place where we knew we had to have ministers. It was inevitable that we had to start the college. Ambassador College was started without sufficient funds or capital, and it costs money to operate a college. Instead of help, we got we had help too, yes. But we had a great deal of criticism. People said, "What's that man Armstrong want to go down there now on top of everything else he's got to do and start a college? We don't need no education anyhow, no how." So some of them said. Well, some of those people have dropped off the bandwagon, and they've dropped way off someplace. I don't know where they're going now. Apparently, they're not on their way into the kingdom of God any longer, which brings us great sorrow. But after 5 years of the college, we finally ordained a few ministers. Now, each year, that number has been enlarging. Now, as we have ministers, the number of churches has been going up. Instead of those two, and they have greatly grown, there were perhaps 12 or anywhere from 11 to 14, I think, attending at Portland in those days. Well, it's, I think, close to 150 now, if I'm not mistaken. A new congregation started 10 years ago in Pasadena by two families coming one Sabbath afternoon for a Bible study. one of whom was Mrs. Eckert, who's playing the organ up here, and her husband. And Dr. Merrill and his wife came with him. The next Sabbath, I think someone else came along. We decided to come back and have another Bible study. Well, pretty soon a church grew. And in Pasadena, we've never made any effort to go out and persuade people to come or invite people to come to church. But like Topsy, it just grew. And today, I think most of this will be a surprise to most of you people that are not in Pasadena, but the Pasadena congregation now is averaging over 600, 625 or 650 every Sabbath. That is by far the largest church of God that I know of in the last 400 years. Certainly the largest one that has been heard of in our time. We have a number of congregations now running over 100 members, at least three, I'm sure, beside the one in Pasadena. The one here, meeting in this tabernacle now, is over 100 every Sabbath. We have a number of others approaching 100. A little over a year ago, we had about 25 or 30 members, I think it was, up in Fresno, California. Only a Sabbath or two ago, my son Dick Armstrong, who is now, for the time being, the pastor up there, and who conducted evangelistic services a little over a year ago there with Roderick Meredith, told me they had, I think it was 90 or more in attendance. I've met one or two here, or three or four here, that have come from Fresno that are new that I had not met before. Our churches are growing rapidly all over the United States. The church in England, London, England, is growing rapidly. And I will say to you now that if we had the ministers, that between now and the end of this calendar year, we would organize at least 75 or 80 additional churches. We have the members for them, and we don't have the ministers. Truly the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. We don't have enough minister laborers. We don't have enough tithe payers and co-worker laborers to carry this work on. Therefore, God says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth more laborers into the harvest. And so I pass that command of God along to you. Be sure and pray that God will raise up more tithe payers. Bring us more active co-workers. And send more of those that he is calling into his ministry out to Ambassador College. Now this fall, Ambassador College started out with the largest class it has ever had. I think we took in, I think it was about 65 new students this fall, and a very fine class it is. We need more, and so continue to pray that God will send those, call those that he is calling for his ministry to come to Pasadena. Now let me just tell you something about the tabernacle. I'll have to say a few things about the work here at the outset tonight. We knew we had outgrown this tabernacle. So we started to build a new tabernacle, and we're going to turn this building into a dining hall only. We have outgrown it. Well, one thing and another happened. When I first wrote to our members, the response, I won't say just of you, because it was more than you. I think they're not all here by any means. The response was fairly good for 2 weeks. For 2 weeks, about the amount of money came in every day that we would have needed to continue every day, right straight through for perhaps 9 or 10 months to have paid for the tabernacle. But after 2 weeks, it dropped down. Pretty soon, it dropped off to a little trickle. Then I sent out another letter, and for about 10 days or 2 weeks, the money came back pretty well. Brethren, do you grow weary with well-doing? Why is it I have to keep appealing for money? When it's our own members. I didn't write anybody but members. Now, if we're going to have the tabernacle, the money must come and keep coming all the time, regular. Don't stop because you don't get a letter from me. We're going to need it next month and the month after and the month after that. And actually, that second letter of mine was a month late coming because I had so many things to do, I just could not find time to write it. And when I can't find time to write a letter like that, that might mean $10,000 as a payment on the tabernacle, how can I find time to answer private letters or to get into individual cases? Now, I had an individual case that was coming up this afternoon and this evening. That's why I was 30 minutes late getting here tonight. because I was trying to take time to go into a private case. One of our members is going to be thrown in prison if we don't spring to action and get him out. And he's a brother-in-law of three of our ministers. Well, I think we're finding the way to save him finally. But it's taking a lot of time. It took a large number of long-distance calls. But I'm going to have to be spared from these things, because now I kept all of you waiting for one case tonight. And that's the way it is. That's why I just cannot find time. Now we have other ministers that have been ordained for 5 years. They're coming along. They're competent. People want to come to me. They've got some Bible questions. Well, I say we have other ministers. But Brother Armstrong, I don't want to talk to them. I want to talk to you. Listen, brethren, our other ministers know the Bible now just as well as I do. I've taught them all I know, and they've learned a lot more since. I've been learning more since, too, but then... It's like this young man. He told the, Department of Justice man that he had to appear before in his case. And he mentioned that he didn't know all there was to know in the Bible yet, and he was going to still study. So that went against him. They said he was immature in his Bible knowledge. They didn't think he was a conscientious objector. He could be sincere at all. He doesn't know all there is to know yet. Well, I'm a little bit older than this young man, and I don't know all there is to know in the Bible yet. And I'd like to face that Justice Department man, ask him how much of the Bible he knows, and if he has anything yet to learn. Of course, he doesn't think it's worth learning anyhow, I presume. Well, there were two other reasons, too, that played in on our postponing the tabernacle. Not only there wasn't enough money coming in, but there were delays. The building material company laid it to our architect, and our architect laid it to them. He couldn't get any information out of them, and they couldn't get plans from him. And so finally, we had to call it off for now. Now, let me just report to you now that we have $48,000 toward the new tabernacle. We had paid them that much. They returned the money. It's in the bank in Pasadena, California. It's being held for the new tabernacle. However, I think that it may be a good thing we had to delay the new tabernacle a year, because I think I see now we weren't building it big enough. So it's going to take a little more money. Now, just the main building alone was going to take a little over $100,000, and that didn't include the restrooms. Well, we originally intended to hold it right over, or build it right across over here, where the people could use the restroom here and the others that we have. We found that we couldn't build it there. We're going to have to build it way over here across the hill, so we have to put in separate restrooms. We have to put in separate plumbing. We found we didn't have enough water. We had to sink a well. Well, that's been done. But additions already have raised the price of that tabernacle up past $150,000. I think we're going to have to build a larger one. It's going to cost more, nearly $200,000. We have $40,000 toward it. Tomorrow we're going to take up an offering. Seven times a year, God tells us to take up an offering. And I want to just announce to you now that you'll all be prepared for the biggest offering you've ever given, if God has provided so that you can. Because we need that tabernacle, and I think you see now that we need it. And I'm going to pledge every bit of the money that comes in this special offering tomorrow. Now, not tithe money. If you put in tithe money, be sure and mark that separate, and the amount. It's supposed to be a special offering that we bring on these holy days. And we're already into this holy day, but we'll take up that offering tomorrow afternoon. If any of you are not going to be here tomorrow afternoon, be sure and leave that offering in the office, because we want the largest offerings that we have ever given. And every bit of it is going to be added in the bank to that $40,000. And tomorrow, and 1 week from tomorrow, in the two holy days, I want to add more than $25,000 additional dollars. And I know we can do it, because we raised, I think it was either almost $20,000 or a little over here last year in the two offers. Now, there are more of us this year. We've got to dig down a little deeper and sacrifice a little more. And I want that offering to go up to $65,000. Then we're going to make an arrangement to pay in $10,000 a month. And if we can do that, the new tabernacle won't be partly finished like this has been for years. It'll be completely finished a year from now and all paid for. Now, isn't that a goal worthwhile? I think you notice a little more has been done on this tabernacle. Those of you who have been here before, the windows are up on the sides. Well, that was a bigger operation than I ever dreamed it would be. Those little tiny thin pieces of wood there are really, I guess, 2x12s. They're pretty good-sized pieces of wood. Those alone cost, it was hundreds or one or two thousand, I think $1,200 on each side, or something like that, or on both sides. Anyhow, the window glass from those sides cost several thousand dollars, just for the materials. I don't know, maybe the labor was all volunteer labor. That didn't include any labor. But it's certainly nice that they're up. Now we begin to see that the inside is so terribly unfinished. Well, we're going to finish it up. We're going to get this tabernacle finished. I want this rostrum up here brightened up a little bit. My, if I'd been here a week ago, it would have been done. But I don't know whether it would have either, because I think everybody's been so busy around here, they probably couldn't have found time anyway to do it. But what we have, brethren, is paid for. We have purchased 109 additional acres of ground, and it's all paid for. There is no mortgage. Now, for not the Sabbath, I'd let you applaud. But this is God's Sabbath, and it's a high Sabbath day. I hope you are applauding in your hearts, because that's something to feel pretty good about. Now, I will tell you that God's work, we're going to have a business meeting through the week on a weekday, and I'm going to report to you, give you a complete financial report of both the church and the college. Let me see. I can tell you now when that will be. I think it's about Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon. Tuesday afternoon of next week. Tuesday afternoon will be a business meeting, and you'll have a complete report. I'm glad to say, though, that at the present time, the finances of God's work and God's church are in good shape. But we're just running as we always have, from hand to mouth. As the income increases, the need increases faster. And we just keep trying to keep up all the time with the expenses. The college is much larger. You know, every student, I think every student, at least almost every, there might be one or two exceptions, but practically every student is working his or her way through. They're on the payroll, and we have to employ them. Well, we have new properties that have to be put in shape, and we employ our own students to do it instead of hiring outside labor, and it's a splendid enterprise all the way through. And so, while the work is in good shape financially, it still is always in great need, and that need is daily. And if we let down one day, we're not going to be in good shape. We could still just simply see this whole great work stop. And what a terrible thing that would be. Well, now I have just a few things here that I must say to you. Please have all to take a songbook before being seated, and after services, pass them to the end of each row and leave them. Well, that should be done. I think it might be good to adopt Billy Graham's idea. If you looked in on television and saw the Billy Graham programs of his meetings down in Madison Square Garden in New York, on the last hymn, the song leader asked everybody to pass the song books down to the end of the row while they were yet singing. And I think that's a good idea. On our last song tonight, if the song leader will ask you all to do that, so that then we'll have the deacons to be there to pick up the song books immediately. Now, will you try to be careful of the song books? We've printed new ones. And brethren, I hope that next year we'll have a brand new song book about 4 or 5 times larger than this one. My brother Dwight Armstrong has written a large number of additional hymns now that we haven't printed yet. We have to have, you know, you don't set music to type. It has to be done by an expert and then cuts made of it and all of that to print it. A large number of them. We have found a large number of hymns that are usable And some of them of tunes that we have all known, of old hymns where the words were not proper, but the tunes were very beautiful and we've loved them for years. Famous old hymns where they have been set to the words of the Psalms. In a real old Presbyterian book that we found, a Presbyterian hymnal of years and years ago, and there are fine songs in it. I think there's no copyright. I think they've all run out, and I think we're free to use them. Of course, we'll have to check into all those details. Then, as many of the fine old hymns that everybody has always liked anyway, as the words are scriptural and correct according to the scripture, we're going to put a large number of those in. And in some cases, we'll make a few changes ourselves in the words so that they will be scriptural. So that we hope to have somewhere between 100 and 150 songs altogether that we'll have of all these fine old hymns you've loved. It will have a large number of those. Many additional in addition to those that we already have. Now, we hope that'll be ready by next year. But in the meantime, don't fold these up. Don't chew them around and be careful. You know, you don't think, well, your mind's on something else, and the first thing you know, you're just bending that book all around, and it's all to pieces before you're through in one service. Now, it costs money to print these books. Do take good care of them. Everybody try to cooperate. Lost and found articles, if you find them, they should be turned in at the information booth right out here beside the entrance as you drive in. There's an information booth. Now, this time, do not bring them up here to the pulpit. Usually the pulpit is just loaded down with lost and found articles. That's not the place for them. Please do not bring lost and found articles up here. Take them out to the information booth. All people that wish to volunteer their services should turn their names in at the information booth. If you want to volunteer your services to help, all mail telephone calls or anything of that nature should be called for at the information booth. We do have telephone service here now. Everyone should check the bulletin board every day on the back of the information booth. That's in the back of the information booth out here to find out when they will be assigned to work. That's those who are volunteering for work. Because it's so late, well, here are names of those to work tomorrow. Well, I suppose since it's late, I better take the time to read them. Breakfast parking, 6:30 a.m., Mr. Gleason, Mr. Adolf Romike, Romike, well. Morning service parking at 8 a.m., Dave Hammond, Denver Rhodes, Howell Rhodes, Robert Voigt, Art Carishian, Ernest Leskey, Marvin Lindsay, Weldon Hoerts, P.O. Williamson, Otis J. Cole, Harold Trabig, is it? And serving meals, James Kuntz, Bill Selig, Mr. Simsek, Mr. Dunlap, George Moss, Leon Pierce, E.E. Robinson. And Mrs. Billingsley, Mrs. Horn, Mrs. Hegvold, Mrs. Leon Pierce, Mrs. Joe Williams, Velma Dorsey, Mrs. Barker, Mrs. E.E. Robinson, Mrs. Maud Hudson, Mrs. George Morgan, Mrs. Burns, and Mrs. Knapp. Please be sure to check the bulletin board on the back of the information book from now on, all of you who are serving. Garbage and cans will be picked up at 9 a.m. every morning. That's for you who are camping on the grounds. Trash should be burned in the barrels supplied for that purpose. Let's keep the camp clean. That's one thing that God insisted on in ancient Israel, that they must keep their camp clean. We have noticed in traveling around the world that in Gentile nations, they are dirty. They're messy, they're filthy. But we've noticed that in the Israel nations, they are much cleaner than in the Gentile nations. All right, let's keep this camp clean. Mr. James Robertson has a reservation at the Voyager Motel in Longview for a double bed. He has already paid for the first night, and anyone that would like to have this reservation may have the first night free. The rate is $8 per night. This room must be called for tonight. Please see Mr. James Robertson. I presume you locate him through the information booth outside. A bus will be run from here to Longview for all who need transportation. All people who need a ride should check at the information booth if you want the ride back and forth from here as far as Longview. Anyone going to Tyler that has room for someone to ride should check at the information booth, and that is all. That's all we'll have time for of that tonight. Now, brethren, every year we always try to see who we have from where. And I'm going to take the states beginning, not alphabetically, but as we just sort of go around, beginning on the West Coast. Because the world headquarters of the Church of God now are in Pasadena, California, I'm going to begin with California. Why, we can't see everybody. Some are way outside, out here. I'm sure that the lounge room in front is filled with about 400 or 500 people there that we can't see. But as far as we can see, everybody from California, please rise. California, look how many have come all the way from California halfway across the United States. Well, I think that's about 2/3 of all of us here. Thank you, California. Now, how many have come even farther, about another 1,000 miles farther, from Oregon? All the Oregon people, will you please rise? Well, now, I don't know. California didn't have all of them, did they? Look at that. And some of our oldest members are here from Oregon that have been in this church for a long, long time. Some, I presume, longer than even I have, and I've been in it for 30 years. Thank you, Oregon. Now, let's go still a little bit farther. Washington, the state of Washington. And I presume we have some back in the other room. Well, I know we have a lot more than that from Washington, but I'm glad to see that many. Of course, there's some outside, and we can't see you. All right, Idaho. We always have some from Idaho. Good. Well, I see a few of you there. Now, Montana. All from Montana, will you rise? Now, I know there are people from Montana. They must be. I wish there was some way of communicating from the room back there, and someone could tell me how many are from Montana. They must be back there. Do we have some over here? Oh, yes, over here we have some. Any of you already standing, raise your hands. All right, Utah. Next we have, I know we have the number here from Utah. I've seen one or two already. Well, it may not be in this room, but they're here. Here we are, over here. Here's some Utah. We want them represented. If I had come to anywhere there's nobody from the state, I'll mark the state. Now, Nevada. Oh, yes. Nevada has about the least population of any state in the Union, but I know we have more from Nevada. We have a student in college from Nevada. Or is he from Pasadena, California now? All right, Arizona. I call it Arizona. Well, look at that delegation from Arizona. And remember, not over 2/3 of us, I suppose, are here. There's still about 1/3 that we're not being seen here. New Mexico. New Mexico, fine. That's a good representation from New Mexico. And Colorado, where we have two churches. All Colorado. That's a fine representation, too. Now, Wyoming, and some of one of our Colorado churches live in Wyoming, too. All right, we're represented from Wyoming, all around here. North Dakota. Here we are. How many more from North Dakota? Anybody standing? Raise your hands high. Now, South Dakota. Well, that's even more. I wasn't sure we'd have as many from South Dakota. Fine. And some from South Dakota have moved out to Pasadena now, so they're from California now. Nebraska. Nebraska? I know one from Nebraska that's from California now, my daughter-in-law. How many of you knew Dick Armstrong got engaged here at the Spring Festival, and he's now married? A girl from Nebraska. I think our family's getting to be pretty complete now. Now, Kansas. All the Kansas. I know we've got a big delegation from Kansas. So far, we only have one church in Kansas, but there are going to be a lot of them someday. Fine. That's a nice delegation. Oklahoma. Uh-oh. There's a lot from Oklahoma. Look back in there, too, from Oklahoma. Any of you hold your hands up outside if we can see you? That's fine. Oklahoma is well represented. Now, Arkansas. I know you're well represented from Arkansas. I'm not going to ask you anything about your politics or whether you're for Governor Faubus or not. He's certainly getting in the newspapers, though, I'll say that much. Maybe he'll run for president someday. Missouri. Well, look at Missouri, would you? All around, way back there, outside here from Missouri. They tell me the Missouri is the St. Louis contingent got in this morning, and I haven't seen but one of you so far, but I know I will see all of you. Now, my old home state where I was born, Iowa. I could almost come down and stand with you, only I've got to be from California now. That's fine. Minnesota. There's some back there, some hands raised. Minnesota, standing any back behind there? Well, Minnesota, will it help any if we go on WCCO every night? Well, I think maybe we'll do that within the next year. Wisconsin. Here we are, and over here, Wisconsin. We have a church in Milwaukee now, of course. That's fine. Now we come to Illinois. All Illinois, the big Chicago church, which is growing rapidly. I don't know whether Chicago, I guess Chicago's over 100 members now. It certainly looked to me like there were more than 100 last time I visited Chicago church. That's fine. Lots of people from Illinois. Michigan, Michiganders. The Michiganders and the Oregon Webfeet. Out here, back there, any others? And now Indiana. The Hoosiers. I should have said Hawkeyes when I was in Iowa. I don't know the names of all these states. Well, that's fine, from Indiana, thank you. Now here's one that I overlooked, and I had to hunt and hunt and hunt for what state I overlooked when I was jotting them down this afternoon. And that's the Buckeye State, Ohio. Couldn't have overlooked you people, could we? I don't know how I ever overlooked Ohio, because that's one state nobody should ever overlook. Very prominent, fine state. And now, Kentucky. All you Kentuckians, let's see some hands back there. Anybody here to rise? Kentucky. It's back by the wall there, son. Well, we haven't missed a state so far, and we're over halfway east across the United States. Tennessee, or as they say on down south, Tennessee. Well, now I tell you, Tennessee is going to be better represented next year. We're on WLAC Nashville every night at 7 o'clock. Don't forget that. You can get it at about, 1530 or something like that. It's up above 1500 on the dial. Every night at 7 o'clock, people clear out here in Texas and other places tell me it's better than the Mexican stations. They're getting it fine. Mississippi. Now I know we'll have a large congregation. Mississippi. Fine. All over, clear back there. Fine. Thank you. Louisiana. Well, that's a fine large number. I think we'll have to go on KWKH sometime and see if that helps us get more people in Louisiana. They offered me 8 o'clock Sunday nights here years and years ago before we had gone on any of the other stations except, I guess, WHO Des Moines. And I was just afraid we didn't have enough money to take it. I should have done it. We'd have been on it yet. All right, Alabama. Alabama. That's a good representation from over in Alabama. And you people in Alabama, more people listen to WLAC in Alabama than any state, so you must get it pretty good there in most locations. So remember, 7 o'clock every evening, a little above 1,500 on the dial from WLAC. Now, Georgia. Maybe Georgia's their best state instead of Alabama. Anyhow, both those states, they get WLAC. Very fine. We don't have as many from Georgia as we might have, but we're represented. Now, you see, there'll be many more from Georgia next year. Florida. I guess we're going to have to go on some more local stations down there to really reach Florida. Isn't that fine? We don't have many, but they've come a long ways. Well, the trouble is some of them move out to Pasadena. We had the Mock family down there, and they've moved out to Pasadena. South Carolina. South Carolina. I know there must be someone from South Carolina here. Getting over there. That's the part of the country we haven't reached so well, and that's why we went on WLAC. I think they'll help us out over there a lot. I don't see a one. We can't pass up any states here so far. Is anybody from South Carolina back there? Yes, there we represented. You saved your state. Thank you. All right, we'll have a lot more from there next year, too, you see. North Carolina. There we are. There are a few scattered around here from North Carolina. That's fine. Virginia. There we are, Virginia. I don't know what happened to WRVA. It changed ownership. And I found that the former advertising agency that caused us a little trouble had just canceled off WRVA and didn't even tell us about it. Apparently, we were still paying for it. I'm going down there someday and see the new management. The manager of WRVA came out to Pasadena to see me about 3 years or 4 years ago, and they wanted us on their station. We went on. We're not on it now. I want to go back on it 7 nights a week. All right, now, the most listened to station around Wheeling, West Virginia, is The World Tomorrow. It's listened to by many more people than their news commentators, including, if I can think of his name. The one with the... the Globetrotter. Lowell Thomas, yes. We have about twice as many listeners as Lowell Thomas or their own local newscaster or Amos and Andy. And we have the highest rating of any program on the great station WWVA, and it is one of the nation's greatest stations. There are lots of 50,000-watt stations, but some of them are much more powerful than others. They have more listeners. WWVA is one of them. Now, how many have we got from West Virginia? Should be a lot more than that. I know we're going to have an evangelistic campaign in Wheeling, West Virginia some of these days, and I'm sure there'll be a church there. We should have a church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Are there more from West Virginia somewhere? Of course, remember Wheeling is clear up in the north part there. It's sort of in between Ohio and Pennsylvania. And it doesn't get down into West Virginia primarily, or most of it. Well, that's fine, thank you. At least West Virginia is represented. And I only can see those in here. We don't know how many are standing back in the other room. Maryland. Now we're getting up into a territory where we may miss a state pretty soon. Is anybody here from Maryland? Well, on a recent trip east about 6 weeks ago, we stopped off WBAL, the great 50,000-watt station of Baltimore that is the big main station for the Baltimore and Washington, D.C. area. They want our program. They're getting ready now to offer us a good time. They offered us 5 o'clock every morning, and we didn't take it. When they get around to wanting us bad enough to offer us a good time, maybe we'll take it if we can afford it, but it's going to take more money. And it'll be about 2 years before the people from there are sending in enough money to pay for it, and we'll have to dig deeper if we do it. But that's one of the nation's great stations, WBAL, Baltimore. Now, is anybody have you found anybody out there? Someone raise your hand if there's anyone out there from Maryland. Oh, yes, we have someone. Good, that saves the day. I'd get someone to go over and scout for me in the back room. Now, this is not a state, but is there anyone here from District of Columbia? Just out of curiosity, we want to see. Anyone here from the District of Columbia who lives there? That's not even a state. Run by the government. If there's anybody in the back room, if someone would come forward and let me know later. Delaware. Do we have anyone here now from the smallest? Yes, we do. From Delaware. We haven't missed a state so far. Delaware. Oh, this is wonderful, isn't it? Now, do we have anyone from Pennsylvania? Come on, Pennsylvania. I know there should be quite a lot of you. Any out here, back there? Well, that's going to increase next year because we're baptizing a lot of people in the district of WWVA. I presume you people listen to that station. Or else WABC New York. We're going to be off of WABC pretty soon, so we're trying to get another station. We did want WOR. That's the station we would rather be on, but they have a policy that I think will preclude our getting on now unless they change their programming. But there's another station that's very good, and if we get a better time, I'd rather have it in WABC with the poor time we have now, which is from 11:30 until midnight. However, I'm sure Billy Graham was listening to us on WABC because I tuned in several times to his television programs the Saturday night, which was a Saturday night service in Madison Square Garden, and I heard him beginning to say things he had never said before and things that he heard us say. And I heard him when he was talking about child rearing use one or two illustrations and a story that he got from my son Ted, or as we call him on the radio, Garner Ted Armstrong. I don't think he thought of the same thing exactly. Well, you see, we're on from 11:30 to midnight, and that's just about the time that he'd be trying to unwind and relax so he could get a little sleep. And he wouldn't want to tune on television that late. He'd tune on radio, and what station would he tune on? Why, the one he's on himself, the big ABC station, because he never did use anything but the ABC network. That's the station he uses. So naturally, he would tune in. We know he was listening. Well, he's coming along. He came a little bit closer. Pray for him and give him time. Maybe he'll get more truth. Now, New Jersey. Here we are, New Jersey. Yes, we're getting back in there with these stations now. Any others from New Jersey that I missed? New York. Oh, I know we have lots of listeners from New York. We get lots of mail from there. We've been on one of the 4 big network stations in New York now for over a year, and that's 6 nights a week. Or I guess it's 5 nights a week, and we had a better time on Sunday. Connecticut. Back here we're from Connecticut. Anybody over around here? Yes, I see you. Now I think there might be some in the back room, but we don't know. Rhode Island. Now we're getting to a small state way up in New England. Well, we're going to have to do something about the situation up there. One of the two big 50,000 watt stations in Boston is coming around office time. They want to see us. I'm going to have to go to Boston very soon. Now, we're going on more stations, and we're going to have to keep going on more if this work is going to grow. Anybody here now from Rhode Island? Is there anybody in the back room? Can some of you there go look and see and let me know? Anybody from Rhode Island? That's the first state, if not, that we haven't had someone. Now, if I've missed anybody, raise your hands loudly or come forward if you're outside. Let us see. We don't want to miss a state if possible. No one back there. There are a group of Sabbath-keeping people in Providence I had heard of, and I stopped when I was there one time. It must have been 15 years ago. Spent a Sabbath with them and preached to them. But I'm sure none of those people would be here now. They seemed to be led by a woman, and she rather violently disagreed with a few things I said, and I could see she was going to lead the people the other way right away after I left. And people want to be led the wrong way by a woman, well, that's their right and privilege. I just feel sorry about it. Well, apparently, no one from Rhode Island. Now then, if there is someone, I'll check it later and find out. I hope there is or will someone arrive from Rhode Island. That's the first state so far that has not been represented here. Massachusetts. Getting up into New England now. Anyone here from Massachusetts? Huh? Good. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Massachusetts is represented. And I think, I forget the name of this station in we were offered time on the big NBC station up there. It is not open now. We want it every night across the board. But there is a second station that is just as powerful and just about as big a station as WBZ, I think, was the big station that we were offered time on. But it's the other big station up there. All right, Vermont. Vermont. Is there anybody from Vermont? Anybody in the back room? Nobody? Well, that's the second state. New Hampshire. Do we have anyone here from New Hampshire? I don't think we're heard too well up there yet. And apparently they go to bed before 11:30 at night and don't hear. I think they could get either WWVA or WABC up there, but apparently not many. We may have had people listening to program, but they may not have listened far enough to come to the festival yet. I wonder if, do you happen to know, Ted, has anyone baptized from up in there this year? Any of you ministers know anyone baptized up around in New England this year, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine? Yes, there were some. Yes, there were some baptized up there. Now, New Hampshire, once again. Anybody from New Hampshire? Anybody in the back room? No? Anybody out here? Out on this side, outdoors. Anybody? Well, I guess there's no one here from New Hampshire. And now how about Maine? Well, that's the last of the states of the Union. Maine? Good. Thank you very much. Thank you. Only three states not represented. Now we come to the foreign nations. Canada! I know we have Canada represented. We have three students in college from Canada. How many more? Let's see all you people from Canada now. Of course, I don't think we should really call Canada a foreign nation. I know they'd like to be part of the United States. We're all the same people. We surely love one another, and we haven't had a police or a bodyguard of any kind across our, 3,000-mile border at any time. And what other two nations can say that? Now, England! Where he is. Here we are. I don't want to embarrass him, right? Ask him to come up on the platform. Would you be embarrassed? You don't need to if you don't want to. Good. He's going to come from the. He's a member of our church in London, England. And one member of the church is now in Ambassador College and has come over here. Yes. James Wells. I know that you're all glad to see him. And we have a fine growing church in London. And he's one of our fine young men in that church. And I might say that Gerald Waterhouse is over there now as the minister, and Frank Longusky is working in the office and assisting Mr. Waterhouse. And Rod Meredith and his wife were over there for a long time earlier this year and holding evangelistic meetings over there. And the church in London is growing. Well, now we come to another large foreign nation, Texas. Well, well, we have got three or four from Texas, haven't we? Almost as many as from California, in fact. I think we better take Texas into the United States. What do you think? They always claim, though, that they're a foreign nation, and they claim the rest of us are all foreigners, you know. Actually, if I should ask you how many foreigners are here, everybody but Texas ought to stand up. Now, I want to see if we possibly may have anyone here from Mexico. I know there were some that had intended to be here that were not, but I believe there is some. You know them. Where is Benjamin Ray? Is there anyone here from Mexico? Oh, yes, I see. Well, we have brethren in Mexico, brethren. And I'm sure that it will be arranged that next year we will have Mexicans here from Mexico. And now the program is all being worked out and figured, and we have set a definite time for starting the broadcast to South America in the Spanish language, beginning the 1st of January next year in South America. That's the one continent we're not reaching. We have the largest listening audience of any radio program in South Africa now. Did you know that? More people are listening to the real gospel of Jesus Christ as they hear Ted Armstrong and myself preach it in South Africa than any other program in all their government stations down there. That ought to warm our hearts, I know. Well, now that's it. And I think that is a wonderful representation of the 48 states, if we count Texas. We have people here then from 45 states, and that does break the record. That's the largest we have ever had. 45 states represented. Now that's pretty near national, don't you think? Now then, I'd like to see those, if it isn't too late, from our different churches, rise, if we may. Let me see. Let's begin up at the other end now. One of our smaller, newer churches. I guess it's the smallest and newest. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Will you rise first? Those in the church in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, they're not all probably here. Maybe some back there. But you see, brethren, we have a nice church up there. Now, the pastor of the Milwaukee church, will you come up on the platform? At the present time, it's Wayne Cole. Where is Wayne? I haven't seen him yet. Here he comes. Come on, Wayne. Mr. Cole here is pastor of the church in Milwaukee and the one in Chicago and in St. Louis, Missouri. Now, just wait a minute, Wayne, and we'll bring the other churches up. All right, now, Chicago. Chicago, Illinois, if you will rise. Well, they're not all in this room, are they? Because are there some way back in the other room? I'm sure there must be. I saw a lot more than that in Chicago last time I was there. And I've happened to be, and I've been privileged to be in Chicago and preach the Chicago church twice this year, but the last time it was so steamy and humid it was worse than Texas, and I was just Well, I was just dripping. My clothes were saturated before I finished. Well, that's fine. They're not all in this room, but thank you very much. We have a nice church there. Now, St. Louis, Missouri. The St. Louis Church. Will you rise? Well, I'm sure that they're not all in this room either, because how many do we have there now? Around 40, 45 adults in St. Louis now, not counting children, which probably makes it up well past 50, maybe 60. Thank you. All right, now let's come on down south. We'll work from the east to the west this time. Minden, Louisiana. And the pastor at Minden is Mr. Kenneth Swisher. I believe he has... they have had a new son born just a few days ago, and his wife was feeling like she'd had a little too much excitement and seeing various people, and he went home to be with her this evening. Thank you. Well, now, how many do we have over at Minden? Who has been over there and knows the number? About 40? About 40 members over at Minden, Louisiana. That's fine. Thank you. They're not all here tonight, but some in other parts. I imagine they're all around here someplace, but not all visible in this room, I mean. All right. Next, I guess we'll come right here to the ones that meet in Gladewater here in this tabernacle, where there are over 100 of you. How many of you are in this room? All in this local church right here. Will you rise now? That meet right here in the tabernacle every Sabbath. Well, I guess most of them must have gone to the back room and let the rest of you have the seats, because they're here every Sabbath. That must be the answer, because I don't see so many of them here. That's fine. Now we can see better. All right. Let's go on a little farther up here. Dallas, Texas. I think we have close to 100 in Dallas now, too. Here's the fine Dallas church. Well, again, I guess they're scattered around. They're not all in this room. You see, they've been... Now, that's typical of the way it has been in the different states, too. We haven't been getting them all here. And now, San Antonio, where we have a fine church. That's fine. Burke, would you tell us how many do you have at San Antonio? About 40 in regular attendance and down at Corpus Christi? About the same. About 40 in each church. How many was it now at Houston and at Dallas?
Dallas is 100 and Houston about 40.
About 40 in Houston and about 100 in Dallas. Now, we had an evangelistic campaign. Mr. Raymond Cole and Mr. Gerald Waterhouse were holding an evangelistic campaign over a little later, a little less than a year ago, I guess it was, in Dallas. And so, you see, brethren, as we start these evangelistic campaigns, the churches do increase in number. And it brings in those that have been listening on the air, they've heard the broadcast, but somehow they've never been quite brought into the church. They come and attend meetings every night, and the result is the church doubles in membership almost every time. Well, now then, we go up into Garden City, Kansas Church. Garden City, Kansas. That's, I think, one of our smaller churches. And will the pastor of the Garden City Church come up? Here we are, Mr. Carlton Smith, who is now pastor of the three churches in that region. How many are we having in attendance at Garden City now, Mr. Smith?
25.
About 25 at Garden City, Kansas. Thank you. That's fine. I guess many of them are in the back room, too. And now Pueblo, Colorado. I haven't had the opportunity of meeting, I think, some of you from Pueblo. I've never attended the church there, Garden City, and I want to do that this year, if I possibly can, before the year is out. Some back over here. Any over this way? All right, then up at Lyons, Colorado. The church at Lyons, Colorado. There's some hands up back there. Here's some more members. Where are the rest of them? Way back, where are the Websters here?
They're all back in the back room.
All in the back room, I guess. Yes, several of them. Yes, I see there's several in the back room. From the Lyons Church, that's fine. And, brethren, we are now on the air in KVOD Denver every night, and we hope that that will result in building up the churches in that region. They haven't built up there as we had hoped, but now we believe that they will. Thank you, Mr. Smith. Well, now that brings us out to the Pacific coast, so let's start up north. And Mr. Jimmy Friddle, will you come up first, the pastor of the church up at Tacoma, Washington? Tacoma, will you stand up or raise your hands if you're already up back there? Tacoma, Washington. How many do you say we have there now? 118, that counts children. How many members? About 70 members, but they have 118 coming counting children. I intended to come up there recently, and something happened. I missed the plane. And, you know, from that time on, I was afraid to go. I could have caught a later plane. I thought perhaps God had me miss it for some reason, and I was just afraid to try it. I didn't go. They told me they were quite disappointed. Well, I'll say to you people in Tacoma, I want to apologize very deeply. I went clear to the airport. I had my ticket. I tried to get there, and I will try to come later this year. And now, Portland, where Mr. Jimmy Friddle is co-pastor, and where is Raymond McNair? Raymond McNair. Here he comes. I haven't seen him. Right there. I saw, here she is. Here's Lindy over here. Sure. Where are the rest of you, though, from Eugene? You see some more of them? There's some more standing up back, yes. And in the back room back there, some of you? Are we increasing now in Eugene?
There have been about 7 or 8 new members in about a year.
7 or 8 new members. Well, I'm sure now that we're on the air every night in Eugene that that we'll have another increase by next year. Perhaps the time's coming to start an evangelistic campaign back up in Eugene again, as I used to hold so many of them. We had about 90 attending in Eugene about around 18, 20 years ago. Then when the broadcast began to expand, it took my time away, and as I was away from there, the church began to dwindle. And after I'd been away a long time, it was coming way down, and then opposition came up. And there were a lot of things we had not learned about the government of God and the church, and it caused division. And finally, the church went down. Well, I presume it's running around 35 or 40 now, but I'm sure that we'll have it back up in due time. All right, now we're coming on down south to Fresno, California. All of you from Fresno Church, will you please rise? And Dick Armstrong, will you come up on me? Now, the Fresno Church has been increasing right along in membership. And matter of fact, one brother here was baptized just last Sabbath, I believe it was, wasn't it? After the two more added to the church there last week. And that is possibly our fastest growing church at the present time. Well, we have a broadcast every night in Fresno, and very happy about our Fresno church. That's one of our newer ones, too. It was organized, I believe, was it over 2 years ago? Just a little over 2 years ago. All right, now before we come to Pasadena, let's go on down to San Diego. The San Diego church. And there we have a growing church that's just coming right along. They tell me it's, who's the pastor down there? Mr. Rob Meredith, will you come up? How many do we have down there now? About 70 adults attending now at San Diego, so I think you see here only just a portion of them. Some back out there, I think I see a hand or two way outside there, weren't able to get in. And I presume some more in the lounge room, and so I say it's in the front instead of the back, I guess, but whichever it is, the other end of the building. That's fine, thank you. Well, now, I don't know. I suppose I'm the pastor at Eugene, but all of the other men that are there. I said Eugene. We were at Eugene so long, when I mean Pasadena, I say Eugene, I still do it. We were just at Eugene so long that I'm still saying Eugene. I mean Pasadena. And so will the Pasadena Church please rise. Pasadena, California, which is by far our largest church, and the largest that we've had in the Church of God in at least 400 years, I'm sure. Now, I'm sure that there must be some way back there all over. Well, look at the hands way out here. Pasadena brethren that couldn't get in out here, all over. And we really have a church that looks like a Feast of Tabernacles every Sabbath in Pasadena. It does. So any of you who are visiting out there, why, you just stop in. I want to say this, though, brethren. Now, some have been moving out. And I want to caution you, don't just pick up and move just to be there near the college and in the church. Whatever you do, don't do it. If you should want to come to Pasadena, let the man and head of the family first call you. Whoa!
This recording has been brought to you by BibleStudy.org, who did the time-consuming work of reclaiming the message.